You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
This day in history takes us back to 1955 and a referendum in South Vietnam. Head of state and former Emperor Bao Dai lost to his Prime Minister Ngo Dinh Diem, who won a highly disputed 98.2% of the vote with the assistance of the United States. The immediate context for this was the victory of Vietnamese nationalists in their war with French colonial forces. Conflict between the two had erupted after the French retook the region, previously occupied by the Empire of Japan, in World War II.
After 80 years of colonial rule and 4 years of Japanese occupation, a new surge for independence sweeps French Indochina. As French troops return to Hanoi and to Saigon, symbol of France's Eastern Empire, European citizens welcome them. But many Vietnamese support a new nationalist government that claims most of Indochina. At the head of it, a hero of wartime resistance, Ho Chi Minh.
I looked at him and said, "President Ho, how can you possibly fight war against the modern French army? You have nothing. You've just told me what a poor country you are. You don't even have a bank, let alone an army and guns and modern weapons. The French have planes, tanks, napalm. How can you fight the French?"
November 20th, 1946, the harbor of Haiphong. The guns of a French cruiser fire on the town as colonial extremists decide to teach the Vietnamese a lesson. 3 days later, 6,000 natives have been killed in a massive French attack.
And he said, "Oh, we have a lot of things that can match the French weapons. Tanks are no good in swamps."
On December 19th, fighting starts in Hanoi. After a brief battle, the Vietnamese are driven out. French retaliation against the native population ends all hope of peace.
It will be a war between an elephant and a tiger. If the tiger ever stands still, the elephant will crush him and pierce him with his mighty tusks. But the tiger of Indochina is not going to stand still.
The French decide to repeat their European history, to fight a stationary war, a war of forts, a Maginot Line war. But in the Indochina jungle, no such line is possible.
The tiger will jump on the back of the elephant and tear huge chunks out of his flesh and then jump back into the jungle. And after a while, the mighty elephant will bleed to death. That was the prediction of Ho Chi Minh on September 11th, 1946.
The French suffer heavy casualties as the guerrilla war continues. Until 1950, it remains primarily a local conflict. But as the communists strengthened their hold on the nationalist movement and began to bolster their forces with aid and advisors from neighboring Red China, it will become a key part of the world's struggle between communism and the Western democracies.
Despite an increasingly large amount of military aid from the United States, the French continued to lose their war with the Viet Minh. Eventually, they were forced to withdraw from the region, which was divided in two at the Geneva Conference.
By the fall of 1953, the French have 500,000 men in Indochina, a 2-to-1 numerical superiority over the Viet Minh. But they are still losing heavily in jungle combat. The stage is set for a showdown. It comes when the French launch an airborne attack against an obscure northern village named Dien Bien Phu.
For 7.5 years, war has raged in French Indochina. It is perhaps only in recent months that the world has fully realized that this is more than a skirmish with bandits. The story of Dien Bien Phu brought home to us all that this is total war. Meanwhile, far from the battlefront, politicians meet. Mr. Molotov arrives at peaceful Geneva for talks which aim to bring about a ceasefire.
At Geneva, half a world away, Vietnam is carved in two as the weary and discouraged French hand over the northern part to the communists.
According to Geneva, national elections were supposed to take place, but there was little enthusiasm for this in either the north or the south. The United States was also growing impatient with the leader of South Vietnam, Emperor Bao Dai, who was seen as too unpopular and soft on the north. Instead, they turned to Dai's Prime Minister, Ngo Dinh Diem, who would take power in a disputed referendum on this day in history, the 26th of October 1955.
Last year's Geneva Conference ended the war in Indochina, but it has not yet brought internal peace to that unhappy land. In Saigon, an anti-communist demonstration against the Geneva Agreement flares up into a savage attack on the headquarters of the International Armistice Control Commission. The Indian president of the commission is manhandled, and many thousand pounds worth of damage is done before police and firemen arrive to quell the rioters. The Vietnamese government brushes aside the outbreak as a mere incident, but the British government, as a party to last year's agreement, brands the riot as a senseless outrage.
A deeply religious people, the South Vietnamese have found strength in their Buddhist faith. Strength to survive the early trials of independence and to lift their hearts and eyes gratefully, hopefully. President of the Republic is Ngo Dinh Diem, staunchly anti-communist, who has won the respect of his people by leading South Vietnam since its founding. Today, Diem faces perhaps the greatest challenge of all. Once again, free men, this time Vietnamese, must arm and defend themselves and their country against communist infiltration and sabotage.
Warm and cordial greeting for President Diem, democratic leader of 11 million South Vietnam people. At City Hall, the visiting 56-year-old statesman, who brought a stable government to the Far East nation and stemmed communist expansion, is officially greeted by New York City's Mayor Wagner. A salute to a staunch U.S. friend in troubled Asia. President Eisenhower waits at Washington National Airport for the arrival of his own plane, Columbine III, with a highly prized visitor, President Diem of South Vietnam. Diem is only the second visitor the president has gone to meet on arrival. King Saud was the first. The president personally escorts the Vietnamese leader on the traditional review of the honor guard. The red carpet extends all the way to the heart of the capital. Official Washington highly regards this able anti-communist leader who brought his country out of near chaos. Unofficial Washington stands on the sidelines to give its greeting. The cavalcade ends at Blair House, where President Diem will stay for his four-day visit in Washington. A perfect host, Mr. Eisenhower accompanies his guest to the doorstep, then extends the open hand of welcome and friendship.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.